This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the Democrats, their next presidential debate is less than a week away. Who will they choose to run against President Trump? We'll talk about it today, taking your calls and comments on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
The debate next Thursday, September 12th. The Democrats will be debating again, this time on one stage. 10 candidates have qualified. To qualify, you had to have 130,000 unique donors. So it wasn't a specific amount. And it wasn't by state, but that you had to have 130,000 unique donors, which is a pretty big threshold for candidates, especially lesser known. Now, polling wise, it was a pretty low threshold still. If you had that many donors, you only needed to earn 2% in 4 DNC approved polls. Now, there's some conflict over what about other polls, but I mean, it's the Democrats' nominating process. The Democrat Party gets to decide what polls they are going to rely on for this. I do get people saying, well, I did it in every poll but the two that they chose.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but it's up to the DNC, just like it would be the RNC would make their decisions.
Right.
So you only had to have 2% out of 4 of their approved polls. Only out of all these 20, 22 that we've talked about, 10 have qualified. Here they are in the order of percentage where they are right now in the national polls. Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Mayor Pete, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, Andrew Yang, Secretary Castro, Beto O'Rourke, and that is it. And what is interesting there is that actually, to me, is that Klobuchar is still hanging in there.
Barely.
In these debates.
Tulsi Gabbard did not make it. She's not happy about it because a couple of the polls, she was up over 2%, and she's met the threshold of 130,000 unique donors, but
yeah,
she
missed two of the polls.
She missed two of the polls. My sense is that they are going to, this is what I think, that they are, the DNC wants this to be a one-stage debate.
One-stage debate. And start whittling this down to a few candidates. Now, the interesting issue is that the next debate, which is about a month away, is October 15th, so it'll be a month from the next debate. So again, you're going to get a lot of these. And Democrats are going to be going through this a lot. It's the same threshold. So how much will you actually whittle down the field? There might be a couple people who maybe Tulsi Gabbard can, instead of just qualifying in 2 of the polls, can qualify in all 4. She's already met the money threshold. So if you've already met the dollar threshold, which like Steyer has and Tulsi Gabbard has, you just need to do better in a couple more polls, and then you could be back on the stage. And they're actually talking about having a 2-night debate again because they're not upping the threshold, because the Democrat Party, they love to keep
Rachel
everything
Maddow,
the
not
same.
Too happy about that, by the way. Rachel Maddow's not. Do we have that bite from her? Do we have one week? Let's go ahead. Is she not too happy?
The October debate will end up being an unwinnowing, which is the opposite of trying to zero in on the strongest candidate to represent the party, right? But that's where Democrats are, with one night of debate set in September, and as they announced over this Labor Day weekend, possibly 2 nights again in October for a newly re-expanded field. People who got cut for this next debate might be there next month. Oh, Democrats.
There you go. Oh, Democrats, then.
I agree with Rachel Maddow. It's kind of silly, honestly.
I think this is a moment for Jay Sekulow Live.
Okay.
All of us agree.
Everybody agrees with Rachel Maddow. Democrats. Go ahead.
Well, I just think the mistake was made this time around, not next time, though, because I'll tell you this. I agree with Tom Steyer that cutting off the timeline for debates 5 weeks out, I mean, I think both Tulsi Gabbard and Tom Steyer would have qualified if they would have given them marginal time. So I think there probably should have been 12 this time, and there probably should have been 8 or 10 next time.
I think you could have said 2% is not enough, period. I mean, honestly, I think, you know, you're a year out from the general election in just 8 weeks. Why wouldn't you be saying by October you got to be at 4% or 5%?
Yeah, I mean, just start upping the numbers, at least incrementally, so that you can let people zero in on candidates. Because some of these, I mean,
we're going to go state by state, too.
Like Tulsi Gabbard, she's interesting. I don't think she has any chance of becoming the nominee. I think she just wants to get, you know, on the stage, and that's key.
All right, back with more in just a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Well, it's Friday, so it's kind of an open line show. You get to call us on your comments, criticisms of the body politic we're living in, and whatever you like to talk about. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the so Tulsi Gabbard did not make it to the debate stage because she did not meet the threshold. Steyer also did not. We'll go through some polling data in a little bit. I will give you the top line, and then I'm going to get Professor Hutchinson's comment. If you look at the national kind of polls, this is where it is. Biden's still at 30%, followed by Warren at 17, Sanders at 16, which means Sanders and Warren together would be more than Biden, but he still has a commanding lead. Harris way down at 6.7, Buttigieg 4.4, Yang at 2.6, Booker at 2.4, O'Rourke at 2.1, Gabbard 1.4, Castro 0.9, Klobuchar 0.9, Bennett 0.7. Harry, what do you think about the 2%? So I think if I was a Democrat, I would not say the 2% threshold is where I want to start up in that because I like to shrink the stage, but I don't get to make that call.
Yes, I suspect that many Democratic professionals would like to shrink the debate stage, and I would argue that consistent with the shrinking ability of Democrats to articulate a coherent vision for America, the Democratic debate stage is shrinking, perhaps rapidly, but not as rapidly as some professionals would like. I would think that the Democratic leaders would like to shrink a number of candidates down to four or five fairly quickly. On the other hand, it's very, very possible that given the current rules in play, yeah, that the Democratic debate stage will actually expand in October because they're keeping the same rules in play for the next debate in October.
Yeah. Now, what will change is that let's actually play this soundbite from Fox News because this kind of sets up what changes, why Rachel Maddow is upset with this. She says, oh, Democrats, you're doing it again. Byte 31, this is James Freeman of the Wall Street Journal on Fox News talking about how you could get these more candidates in a month and a half from now back on the stage, even a two-night debate again.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
The complaint is that some of the rules are a little arbitrary. They've set a bar saying you've got to get a certain amount of donors and you've got to get a score in polls that we recognize, whether national or state. And they're saying it's kind of arbitrary. And also there wasn't a lot of polling in August. So I think it's a shame for viewers that they're not getting the full debate that we saw in the previous two rounds, which I thought was enlightening.
And it's true. I mean, the polling goes way down in August because people are not yet back in the flow of things. The best polls really start coming out when people are back to school, back to their normal schedules.
Now.
That's right around now. So you're talking mid-September, getting into October is when you can start getting the best polls. I don't know that that would necessarily benefit Tulsi Gabbard, by the way, but it would give her more time, yeah. Certainly. If she was already getting 2 out of 4, probably it ends up in this second debate. Now, what we do want to do, though, is go over this first one. So this first one is September 12th. The next one is in Houston from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, so next Thursday. So we'll be breaking it down next Friday on the broadcast. It's ABC moderating it. That will be George Stephanopoulos, David Muir, Lindsay Davis, and Jorge Ramos. So you'll have the Hispanic side to it as well, the Spanish-speaking side to it as well. What's interesting is that, you know, Stephanopoulos, again, was a Democrat himself, press secretary, but again, this is a Democrat debate. David Muir is kind of, he's a pretty fair guy, yeah. Actually,
yep.
In his new role as a Sunday show host.
Yep.
David Muir is the nightly news guy. He is kind of very middle of the road sounding, at least on television. So interesting to see how he does in the debates. I feel like he's going to ask a lot of the kind of like
middle America questions.
Like, yeah. What are you really going to do for people? And things like that, his kind of audience. This should be an interesting one.
Do you think, then, that this, following kind of what Jordan said of the interest level, I mean, after we had this climate change disaster thing yesterday, I mean, that were 2 days ago, that was like horrific. So what is this, what are you hearing in Washington? Who do you're on Capitol Hill, who's the buzz with right now on these candidates?
I think most of the people think it's down to 3 candidates. I personally think there's still 4 that are viable, but I think on the Hill, most people think it's down to Vice President Biden, Senator Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren. I would tell you that I have not completely written off Senator Kamala Harris yet. I know she's lagged in the polls very significantly, but inside the city, Jay, I think most people think it's between those top 3, with Kamala Harris maybe vying for a vice president slot. As far as who's paying attention, Jay, I think most of them are looking at the state-based polling, and if you look at those first 4 states, it's very close to mirroring the national average. Actually, Joe Biden has a significant lead in each of those 4 states as well. Yeah.
So Harry, go ahead. Finish up, man.
I was just going to say there would have to be almost complete consolidation in those states between Sanders and Warren to overtake them. And any time a candidate drops out, even if it's now, Jay, it's never 100% consolidation.
No, that's why I keep wondering if it is. I mean, I think the momentum is with Warren. But Biden, Harry, still has a big lead. I mean, it's double digits.
Yes, and I think
it's early.
Consistent with your analysis, the Sierra Club, which polls its members on the issue of climate change, their latest poll suggests that Biden has consistently maintained his lead even among climate change voters, even though I think he has failed to articulate one single policy in a coherent manner with respect to climate change. He's all over the map, and I'm not necessarily sure he is aware of what he will say next, but nonetheless, he continues to lead. And so that does suggest some resiliency, and I think some voters have baked in his gaffes and his inability to speak in an articulate manner. And so he may continue to thrive, but I think the momentum is with Warren.
Joseph on Facebook said this, Jordan, if we learned anything from 2016, the American people don't trust the polls.
Yes and no, but you've got to have some way to figure out who gets on a debate stage and some way to whittle that down. And so there's 2 ways to do it. One is amount of donors. Okay, so basically there's enough people going around, I guess, because remember, you have to have 130,000 unique donors. They don't have to be unique from the other person. So there can be people, Democrats right now, who are supporting multiple candidates. Keeping people in the race because they're not sure who they support yet. That's very common.
Do you see a consolidation between Warren and Sanders? Do you see either one of them getting out of it?
Not right now. I mean, there's no reason for either one of them to get out of it right now. They both have huge campaign apparatuses, big staffs, a lot of money. So what would be the reason why they got out? Well, they stopped raising money, so they can't afford those big staffs. even if they'd stayed okay in the polls. But they just, but people are just not interested in keep funding them. That's one. So if they run out of funding sources, two, if they make some kind of deal. I mean, this is politics. They could certainly make a deal to say, listen, you know, we're killing each other here. If that's actually the case, their pollsters, it looks like that's the case because of how close they are in all the polls. But it, Elizabeth Warren makes the case that she could do better than Bernie Sanders with this, with the more mainstream Democrat voters, which is probably true. Anybody who's running could do better than Bernie Sanders with mainstream Democrat voters.
But let's say Bernie Sanders drops out in, you know, February.
So
there's still primaries to come. That doesn't mean that 100% of that vote goes to Warren.
No, but I think she does benefit the most. She benefits the most. Kamala Harris is not going to benefit greatly from Bernie Sanders dropping out because of her work as a prosecutor.
Yeah. Do you think
bottom line, she put way too many people of color behind jail?
Yeah. Yes, and she was a prosecutor in Oakland.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Warren, and that's Bernie Sanders.
Do you think that I was going to ask you that, Harriet? I'm trying to figure out because I thought she was going to be the one that kind of rolled out the strongest, younger, you know, big state.
They all did.
What do you think happened there?
Well, in part, I think she cannot fully distinguish between being a prosecutor and being a presidential candidate. So she has to make an affirmative case for her policies, and she keeps changing what she supports. On one hand, she fully supports the Green New Deal, but then on the other hand, she comes out with a more modest approach. On one hand, she is prepared to support Medicare for all, but then on another hand, she is willing to pull back a bit. And so I think that's part of her issue.
Yeah.
And she's great when she can prosecute the other presidential candidates.
Yeah. But just getting policy positions are the difficulty.
She is not so great when she faces incoming fire from others.
So her policy positions are just not very clear. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. So we'll take those calls when we get back. Your reaction to where the campaigns are right now, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, stay engaged with the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Make sure you're getting our email news alerts and updates. Also, follow us on Twitter at Jordan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at ACLJ. Jordan's got a brand new book coming out, The Next Red Wave, September 24th. We encourage you to pre-order that at Barnes & Noble, or Amazon, or wherever you get your books. So we encourage you to do that as well. Again, it's called The Next Red Wave. It will be out on the 24th of September. So we encourage you to pre-order that. We're trying to get that, you know, to as many people as we can. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know we like talking politics on Fridays, and we're getting towards that season where we get to do more and more of that for you, break it down. And I think it's important, too, because there's a lot of numbers flying around. There's not two parties running, really, so you really can focus in on who will President Trump be running against. And for a lot of you in our audience, not everyone, but for a lot of you in our audience, that means who will the candidate you support be running against? And, you know, it's kind of the big question is how far left will the Democrat Party go? So are they going to go right up to the line like they did last time with like a Bernie Sanders finishing a close second? Or, and then still go with like a Joe Biden type or maybe even a Kamala Harris type if she made a comeback? Or are they going to go right to Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders? If you look at where the party has moved in the last couple of years on issues like Israel, where in 2018, Nancy Pelosi is praising the state of Israel, saying that if the Capitol were to fall down, the U.S. Capitol were to crumble, U.S. aid to Israel, and then she said, it's not even fair to call it aid. Cooperation is what she said. Cooperation with Israel would continue. Now, fast forward to 2019, She now believes that aid to Israel should be on the table as a political issue, that we should be censuring Israel's ambassador to the United States because the squad has had a major impact, like it or not, if you're a Democrat. Now, for Republicans, that may not be such a bad thing if they've made enough of an impact to actually push the nominating process into choosing someone who has echoed their message. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have both echoed the message of the squad when it comes to Israel. They want to at least look at cutting funding to Israel or cut significantly the funding, which is really, again, collaboration and support, military security support we do with Israel. But they want to cut that. They're anti-Israel. They've taken that anti-Israel position, Warren and Sanders. Biden is still not gone that far. Though you never know where he's going to go based off of again, like the Hyde Amendment. If you trust him on even that, like taxpayer funding of abortion, can't trust him on that because he immediately changed his position on that. He puts his finger in the wind. So it's kind of like, will they support the finger in the wind Democrat moderate candidate who tries to get the middle of the country to come back from the Republican Party and the blue collar workers, minority voters, to actually show up on election day, or have they pushed so far to the left? I want to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. This is all in the context of the next debate, which is next week. And next week, only 10 Democrats have qualified. No more will qualify. It's Biden, Booker, Mayor Pete, Castro, Harris, Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Andrew Yang. It will be in Houston. It's an ABC debate, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern time next Thursday. So we'll be able to cover it on the broadcast on Friday. It'll also be on Univision. And then the next debate after that is in October in Ohio. We don't know yet what network will be hosting that, but we do know it's going to be the same criteria, which means it could, and they are preparing for that to go back to actually being a two-night debate. Seriously, another two-night debate. But I want to take your calls on this 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. Scott calling in from Colorado on line one. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, okay, guys. Hey, appreciate my call. Thank you. You know, when I look at these Democratic candidates, I see a stage of philosophical, intellectual, and political lightweights. None could approach the nerve and the boldness of what Trump has done. He stood toe-to-toe with the China machine, is not flinching. He's dismantling the left-wing fake news media. And with Trump, I think we're getting a front-row seat in leadership in real time. And, you know, why roll the dice?
Well, you know, the truth is, I think a lot of people are with you, but we're in a divided country. Harry, there's no doubt. Elections are held today. You could have, like, my book is called The Next Red Wave. When we talk about that, we look at the map of the country, and the president was able to have this. We've seen wave elections before where his wave carried into the Midwest and states that Republicans were not really competitive in for a long time, Pennsylvania, Michigan, you've got Wisconsin, Minnesota could even be in play this time. West Virginia, which has become reliantly Republican for presidential races. At the same time, Harry, we know the country is extremely divided. whoever the Democrats put forward, I think gets at least 40% of the vote nationally. Whether or not they get crushed in the Electoral College is a different question.
I think you're correct. So I think it's important to take a step back and to note that we live in a highly divided country. Yeah. We are divided on the basis of politics, on the basis of ideology, and on the basis of a number of other things. And so you've got many virtue signaling advocates out there. You've got people that are cleaving to identity politics. Some individuals are cultural grievance warriors. Plus, it's important to note that the Democrats, by and large, have the national media on their side. So I think your analysis is spot on, Jordan, that the Democrats start with a base of at least 40%. And probably the president starts with a base of about 40%. And approximately 20% of the electorate is up for grabs. And so despite the fact that you can trumpet the success of President Trump's policy initiatives with respect to judges, with respect to protecting Israel, and with respect to a large number of other matters, including, of course, the economy, it's important to note that his message and his policy successes will, in fact, be distorted, at least in part, by the national media. Many leading members of the Democratic Party, they are essentially cheering for what? A recession. Why? Yeah. Because they believe a recession could basically guarantee that they win the election. So yeah. It's important to note that there's still some uncertainty out there.
You know, and when we talk about this, a lot of us have a considerable amount of political experience. My dad is a senior attorney for the president of the United States, his outside role. So he's been involved in politics for a long time. We don't get into partisan politics on this air. We don't tell you who to vote for. We do talk about partisan politics, but we don't tell you who to vote for. We talk about issues, policies, and we talk about what the candidates that are running. But I know Than's worked on campaigns. I've worked on three presidential campaigns, a number of other Senate, House, state campaigns as well. So we're coming at it from a different point of view than just guys on radio who report the news or lawyers in public policy who also care about politics. I mean, we have real experience in this. And I love this Facebook question. In fact, and Kathy, we're going to get to your call right when we come back from the next break. We're going to take more of your phone calls. And I want to hear your answers to this question from Facebook, everybody. 1-800-684-3110, because Elizabeth wrote in, Elizabeth Nielsen wrote in, who do you think is the dark horse candidate for the Democrats at this point? Than, I'll go to you. And then I want to hear from everybody. Give us a call right now. 1-800-684-3110. Is there a dark horse Democrat candidate that just isn't getting that attention yet? Is it a Tom Steyer type? So he certainly pays a lot of money to get attention. But Than, is there one for you?
I think if Senator Kamala Harris counts, I would include her. If she does not count, Jordan, I don't think there's one outside that top four that can break through. I would, maybe Cory Booker, but honestly, if it's outside that top four, I'll be pretty surprised.
Because I think at this point with her polling, she counts as a dark horse. I'll get Harry's opinion on it when we come back, and we'll take Kathy's call. I want your opinions on it too. Is there a dark horse candidate for the Democrat Party to run against President Trump? 1-800-684-3110. Get your copy of The Next Red Wave.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live,
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Jay Seculo Live. Question, great question came in from Facebook from Elizabeth O'Neill Nelson. Who do you think is the dark horse candidate at this point for the Democrats? So if it's not basically Biden or Warren or Sanders, because those are the only three candidates in double digits, Warren and Sanders are basically statistically tied. Biden almost has is two times the amount of support, but he's still hovering in that 30%, some polls 26%. I mean, he's got to get at least a 34 really to kind of lock it in if that many candidates stay in the race. But do you believe there's a dark horse out there? Than said Kamala Harris. She was a lot of people's pick, so she might now be a dark horse kind of candidate. Who do you think, folks? 1-800-684-3110. So we know Than's. What about you, Dad? You think there's a dark horse?
I thought Kamala Harris was going to be the
star.
The star here, and I'm kind of with Harry. I think she was very good at prosecuting Harry, but when it came to, here's my policy, or I've got some incoming, she just could not, she didn't even deflect well.
I think part of her difficulty is Kamala Harris, and I don't want this to come off harshly, but I'm not necessarily sure that she believes in any abiding principles. So if you look at Bernie Sanders, if you look at Elizabeth Warren, their campaign is propelled by principles. They may be bad principles, but that at least
big policy memos. You can read all about their policy memos.
And so they've actually worked a strategy, a plan, and they are fully informed about policy. Kamala Harris apparently is not. If I was going to suggest a dark horse candidate, my suggestion would be Tulsi Gabbard if she gets on the next stage.
I think she thinks that too.
If she's able to take down Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. So if she can prosecute the case against both of those two individuals, like she prosecuted her case against Kamala Harris, then she could emerge as a dark horse candidate. But it's a big if. In terms of whether she actually gets on the stage.
Jordan, you've done multiple presidential campaigns, and you've done campaigns for primaries. I mean, when the candidates candidates.
I worked the Iowa caucuses, worked primaries, caucuses.
How do you see it right now?
Okay, so right now I see you have the main stage guy like Joe Biden. He's hovering at 30%. For him, that's the best he's ever done. This is the third time he's run for president. He's never been this high in the numbers. So the question is, can he maintain 30% with gaffes and kind of sometimes bad debate performances.
Yep.
You never know what Joe Biden is going to show up in a debate. That's not great. I've worked for candidates like that before, and that is not helpful. Sometimes you know a candidate's bad at debating. Okay, you deal with that. Sometimes though you deal with one that can be like amazing, and I think Joe Biden can have those amazing moments, and then also can be just horrendous and like forget where they are. And he's had those gaffes as well. So you don't know which Joe Biden shows up. If I had to bet right now, and the nomination, the vote was next week, Joe Biden is the nominee. No doubt in my mind, Joe Biden is the nominee. Huh. But if I had to bet who is actually going to get this nomination, I still don't think the left is going to let Joe Biden get this one. I just don't see how, when you can put the Warren and Sanders support together with a few of these others, so the further left on the policy positions, that they're going to let Joe Biden just walk away with this one with the gaffes he's made. But again, we'll see. We're going to take your calls on it, Kathy and Deborah. We got more coming up. 1-800-684-3110. Interesting soundbite between Elizabeth Warren and Chris Cuomo. Cuomo kind of playing Trump and what the debate would be like. Warren didn't handle it so well. No. It was interesting on the new Green Deal.
All right, we want you to pre-order Jordan's new book, The Next Red Wave, How Conservatives Can Beat Leftist Aggression, Rhino Betrayal, and Deep State Subversion. It is coming out September 24th. So here's what we'd like you to do. We'd like you to pre-order it now. You can do it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Frankly, you can do it wherever you buy your book. So pre-order it now. That gets it to more people. And obviously the goal, as always in these, is to get the book out to as many. There's a zillion lists. If you can get on some of these booksellers' best lists, they keep printing it and getting more information out. The Next Red Wave.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Secchio Live, we're all here. I said we're going to take Kathy's call. We're going to do that right now. Kathy, calling from Oregon online too. Welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Someone mentioned the education of the viewers, and I'm wondering if part of the Democrat Party for continually leaving these multiple candidates in because they have a powerful presence on stage, 8, 10, 12 people at a time spouting their leftist viewpoint over and over and over.
Yeah, but I tend to think, Kathy, it cuts against them. I'll go to Harry on this and to Than. I think it cuts against them because it also marginalizes the leaders in the sense that the time frame of what they can say is so narrow.
I think that's correct. I also think that the overall Democratic message is muddled because you have so many voices. And it's also unlikely that any one candidate can speak for a sufficiently long time in order to fully explain his or her positions. And so it's just a bit of a babble to me rather than any sense of coherence.
Than, what was your sense on that? Because I think that it hurts them, actually.
It cuts against the party as a whole. I don't have much doubt about that. I mean, I think maybe the only advantage, and it's a small one that it might give, is these positions they're running on, Jay, are so extreme that maybe it minimizes the amount of time that each candidate has to spend on them. Look, I think these positions are a disaster for them in any general election, 2020 or any going forward. You know, it might be proving smart to pull Joe Biden off the campaign trail for the short term, Jay. But look, that's what Hillary Clinton had to do down the stretch, too, because every time she went out, her support fell. That's a huge red flag for him as he comes down the stretch.
Here's what I think the Democrats may be thinking. Keep it so broad, it doesn't get so nasty. So you don't have a Clinton versus Sanders right away. So you keep it so broad. There's a few liberals to choose from, a couple moderates. There's an Andrew Yang. Is Tulsi Gabbard going to get back in? There's the Tom Steyer billionaire guy who could get in. Maybe he's halfway there to getting in. And so you kind of keep it broad, knowing that there's probably only two or three that could actually get the nomination. Yep. And the war then will begin when necessary. But you don't have to have such a prolonged war that just divides everyone up. That is one way of thinking it, that they're trying to approach maybe differently. And I'm just trying to put on their glasses from what happened last time when you just had – two going at it, and there are two camps going at it, that's a lot tougher for like the Warren supporters and the Sanders supporters. It is tougher for them to go at each other directly. That doesn't mean they won't throw punches at the debates. But what I'm talking about is direct warfare in politics. And right now, there's too many people to be engaged in too much of that. Now, I like to look at the state-by-state polling that's done as well. And again, a lot of this is going to get very updated this month. Most of these polls were done in August. So we'll get a whole new group of these polling.
But you said it's normal for them not to be polling
now. Yes, because it's back to school. It's the end of summer. People are not around. But again, it'll be coming back. So in Iowa, which is a caucus, and remember, it was interesting, Joe Biden's campaign said they don't have to win Iowa to get the nomination. Now, it's true technically, but it's nice to win Iowa to get the nomination.
What happens if you lose Iowa? You've been with candidates that have
you don't have to win Iowa to get it. Mitt Romney decided he would not even compete there the second time he ran, and he's got the nomination.
Yeah.
John McCain did the same thing as well. Okay. So you can get the nomination. Now, neither one of them became president of the United States.
Right.
Interesting to note there. But also, Donald Trump did not win Iowa. Lost it by about 1% and then crushed everywhere else. But remember, he lost to Ted Cruz in kind of a surprise by about 1%. He still went on to get the nomination and become president of the United States. So is Iowa's role still very important? Yes. Is it decisive? No.
What about South Carolina?
But here's the interesting point. Joe Biden is still pulling ahead there. So why would you say that? And I think you say that because are people going to really get out there and caucus for him? And I've worked on those caucuses.
That's different than
just getting people to show up and vote in primaries where there's hardly any lines. And, primary days are not days where you got to wait 2 hours
to vote.
What
about South Carolina?
So we move to, let's move to New Hampshire. That would be next. This is where it gets interesting. You basically have a statistical tie right now between Biden and Sanders. Makes sense because Sanders from Vermont, so kind of the New England Democrats. But Biden still has a slight lead there. But again, slight. So if he were to give up Iowa and then possibly lose in New Hampshire, well, then you're in real trouble. Now, here's his saving grace states for this so far for his campaign are these two. The Nevada caucus. Why is this caucus better for Joe Biden than other caucuses? Kind of sounds like Passover. Yeah. this caucus is better for Joe Biden because he's doing better right now. Even though he is an old white guy, he is doing better amongst minority voters. And that caucus will be dominated by Hispanic voters. So he's got a big lead, double the amount of support right now over both Warren and Sanders. Now, interesting, Warren and Sanders have the exact same amount of support, which would be enough if combined to beat Joe Biden. But I think that would be popular. And then you get to South Carolina. That's a big test for Democrats because that is the black vote, which is very critical to winning the presidency ultimately for a Democrat. They've got to make sure that the black voters actually show up to the polls on election day. Joe Biden has a huge lead in South Carolina's primary right now, and that is all, again, coming from the African-American community.
All right, so Harry, let me ask you this. I want Than commenting on this too. That was a good analysis of where it is. But you go to South Carolina, which in some sense, that was going to be Jeb Bush's firewall. Did not happen.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get there, you're beaten up. So if Biden were to lose New Hampshire and were to lose Iowa, I mean, what do you think when he gets to South Carolina?
Well,
he still has more support within the minority community. No
question. I think he could still squeak out a victory in South Carolina, but the victory, if he wins, would still suggest that Joe Biden is damaged goods. And so then I think we have to move to the fifth primary state. And then I think it's all up for grabs. But I also think clearly that if Sanders wins both Iowa and New Hampshire, and I'm not saying he will, then I think Joe Biden is in trouble, and he might even be in trouble in both Nevada and South Carolina. Yeah. But if he does not win, and in my judgment, if Joe Biden doesn't win convincingly in South Carolina, then I think he's toast.
All right, so because I've got a question, I want to go to Than, and I got another one for you on this. Yeah. So Than, if you're Joe Biden, what's the strategy forward here?
Well, first of all, I think he said that what he said about Iowa because I think Elizabeth Warren is going to win Iowa. Yeah. And frankly, that's why I think that Kamala Harris might be a dark horse, because if he loses Iowa, Jay, and he comes into South Carolina really beaten up, I think the previous Joe Biden supporters are going to be looking for someone to support. And I think Kamala Harris is probably the most likely. So that's her path to the nomination. So I really think that's the only one. She's got to win South Carolina. And in order to do that, Joe Biden's got to lose Iowa. And Jay, I think he's going to. I think Elizabeth Warren's going to win Iowa.
When, Jordan, does this thin out in the primary, when we're in primary time? Let's say you're down to five or six
candidates.
Whenever
the DNC decides to up the numbers. So if they say you've got to have double digits in the polls, well, that would put it down to four or five candidates right now. So they could do that pretty easily whenever they want. So you've got to have at least 10% and in four different polls.
Will they go to state polls or they always stay at national?
They'll sometimes do a mix. I mean, it's up to them. They get to decide the rules. Now, let me say this, following up on what Than said. If Joe Biden, which he is trying to sound like, you know, it's, sometimes this is a play, like I don't have to win Iowa, and then he ends up, you know, winning Iowa. But he's never done well there. I think I've had friends that worked on Biden's campaign before. Last time he ran, I think he got 1%. I mean, now he was running against Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So, again, the fact that he thought he could even compete showed some judgment issues in Iowa. And wasting money there. But see, if he does lose Iowa to like someone more popular for a caucus style, which would be like Elizabeth Warren, and would do better usually in a caucus style, he goes to New Hampshire next. And right now he's barely, like, statistically, he's statistically tied with Bernie Sanders, and just and Elizabeth Warren would be just behind them. Well, if she comes out of Iowa with a win, and she's from Massachusetts, and this is New Hampshire, Joe Biden's going to lose there too. Joe Biden's not going to be able to hang on for New Hampshire. So he's going to lose two states in a row, maybe to Elizabeth Warren. If Than is right, if Elizabeth Warren wins the caucus, she will win New Hampshire. She'll beat Bernie Sanders and Biden in New Hampshire. She's a home, you know, a neighboring state senator. She'll go into South Carolina. Again, someone else might win South Carolina, but I think it would then go to someone like Kamala Harris because Joe Biden is dead at that point.
Mm. Fascinating. All right, last segment of the broadcast. We take your calls on everything. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, we are just literally about 2 weeks out from Jordan's release of his book, a little bit more than 2 weeks, The Next Red Wave. It is due out September 24th, and it'll be available in bookstores everywhere. You can pre-order it now. We encourage you to do it. The Next Red Wave, Jordan Sekulow, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, and we encourage you to go ahead and get a copy. Pre-order. Very important for you to do that. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. 800-684-3110. Get your comments in by Facebook and Periscope as well. Got a comment we're going to play by Pete Buttigieg.
And I want to tell people, too, you wrote the foreword for this book, so it's great. We got some new writing authorship by my dad, the foreword, and then Sean Hannity endorsed the book as well. His endorsement, a part of it is on the cover, and the full endorsement of the book on the back cover. So Sean Hannity also endorsed the book at nextredwave.com. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Get right to Deborah's call in a moment. So Deborah, hang on the line. But I've wanted to play this soundbite. This was Chris Cuomo just yesterday talking to Senator Elizabeth Warren about the Green New Deal. Fast forwarding to saying, you know, if like the scenario we just played out, which is just one of many scenarios you could play out. But if you got the nomination and you're on the stage with President Trump and you support this Green New Deal, which is pretty tough numbers, you know, for the American people to swallow, if you will. What do you say? And this is how she handled it with Chris Cuomo, who's not a conservative by any means. Bite 17.
So quick step into the future. You win the nomination.
I like that.
You're
say
on
that
the debate
again.
So far. Uh-huh. The premise
okay.
is good.
Good.
You're on the debate stage. You're uh-huh. across from the president. And he says the Green New Deal is a dream because we're 60% right now on fossil fuels. You're saying you want to put into research and get it done, but you don't know how right now.
No.
So you want to bet our economy on an ambition. What's the answer?
He says the Green New Deal is a dream.
I'm assuming he says it.
No,
I don't know what he'd say. It
no,
may not
but
be that
I'm
nice.
Just saying where he is right now is a nightmare.
Now, see, here's what's important
couldn't
to point
the
out there. She says, he says to her, so Donald Trump's going to say to you, the Green New Deal is a dream. You're dreaming, Elizabeth, because we're at 60% right now. People are relying on fossil fuels, and you want to put research and get it done. But you don't even know how to do that right now. So you want to just put our whole economy on an ambition, and that's what you put out in your official plan as running for president, which is in her plan. So how do you answer that? And she actually says in the minute, you don't know right now how to do that. If you listen closely, she says no in the response to Chris Cuomo. Yeah. Like, no, we don't know how to do that yet. Of course, if she did, she'd put it in the plan. But then she tries to turn it around and say, well, right now it's a nightmare. No, it's a nightmare. If you put out a giant policy plan that includes a giant tax increase and you don't actually have the solution
right.
for the policy, even if there was a giant tax increase and you had the solution, that'd be a lot better. But if your Green New Deal can't actually get us greener because you don't know how to do it, why are you just going to be taking more of my money?
That'll be greener.
And that will be more Donald Trump in the White House. So,
all right, let's go take a call.
Yeah.
You're right.
Let's go to Deborah in Florida on line 3. Deborah, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Deborah.
Thank you. Hi, how are you guys? I was just wondering what your opinion is about Kamala. That I'm just wondering, you know, if maybe we shouldn't underestimate her, not for her qualifications, but because she kind of checks off two boxes.
Well, I mean, look, I thought she was going to have the strongest rollout of the candidates. She's very good on her speeches are good as far as her delivery. She's a good president. She is a former prosecutor. Dan, you still think there's something there? I just think the polling is just not going well for her.
It clearly didn't sustain, Jay. I mean, she's clearly a dark horse at this point. The only real thing that I think she has going for her is that I think Joe Biden has some real flaws. I mean, they're already pulling him off the campaign trail. And if he does eventually fall, I don't think much of his support is going to go to either Senator Sanders or Senator Warren. So at that point, I think she would become a likely alternative. I'll say this, though, Jay. I mean, what does it say about their party when her time as a prosecutor? She's extremely liberal.
I know.
When her time as a prosecutor is what's dragging her down. That's her best qualification to be president.
But, you know, you said something. I mean, I don't see Warren and Sanders, Harry, folding their tent. Not both of them. One of them, maybe.
Well, I think that's correct. And I also think that
both of them,
some
no.
of Biden's support might leak toward either Warren or Sanders. So I'm not necessarily sure all of Biden's support goes to Kamala Harris. I think at this point in time, Kamala Harris has not made a convincing case for her own candidacy.
Yeah.
And she's been a candidate for 6 to 9 months,
right.
And she's still cannot articulate a solid reason why any American should vote for her as opposed to one of the other candidates.
Yeah.
Now, with respect to Elizabeth Warren's claim about the president, I think it's important to keep in mind that Elizabeth Warren's campaign is actually a nightmare for the American people because she wants to bet the lives of 320 million people on a policy which is unproven and lacks basic research. More likely than not, the solution that she's seeking will come from a Harvard, Yale, or Stanford cognitive elites who really don't know how to articulate their way out of a paper bag.
Good job with designing Obamacare, those guys.
Yeah.
They were the architects of the Affordable Care Act, was that group. And that's been great. Joe Biden has had to be the only candidate defending Obamacare.
Nobody else is defending it, which is interesting. All right.
Yeah, I will say this about Harris just quickly. In every poll, both nationally in Real Clear Politics and by state, she's in fourth place.
Yeah.
So she's right there on the edge. She stays. She hasn't dropped completely off the map.
Yeah.
She'll be on the debate stage. She'll have her opportunities. Back to the phones. We go. Jerry in North Carolina, line two. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is a good question for Than.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, we really love what you guys do. I tell you, I listen to you every day.
I was
wondering what you think about all the Republicans that are dropping out of the Senate. I've heard there's 15 that are leaving. Do you think that's because they're...
Yeah.
But how...
There's a couple out of the Senate. Fan, go ahead. But that's one of them's health issues.
The 15 is referencing the House. The one in the Senate he's probably heard about is Johnny Isaacson from Georgia, who's retiring for health reasons.
Yeah, he's got Parkinson's.
It puts another Republican seat on the table. Jay, I mean, look, the Democrats would need to flip four seats in the Senate unless they win the White House to get back the Senate. And the most vulnerable seat in the Senate belongs to the Democrats in Doug Jones in Alabama. So they've still got a pretty steep hill to climb to win the Senate back.
So, I mean, I think that, the Republican nominee comes forward in Alabama, and that could get the electoral vote. I think that, look, the Alabama goes back Republican. So I don't see the Senate at risk. The House, flipping the House back, not an easy task, but not out of the equation yet either.
I mean, start making progress on flipping the House back by having President Trump at the top of the
ticket.
Well,
this North Carolina race is Tuesday.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
I think the president's going down on Monday.
There's special elections. They're always a little different. But again, I think having the coattails, I think you're going to keep – Republicans will keep the Senate. The question is – how much do they gain in the House?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fair to say they can automatically take it back.
I think
that would be hard. Even with a big red wave, like my book is about, the numbers just aren't
tough.
Really they're there if everything adds up, and you could get some good gains and then focus on that the next midterm, based off what you're doing. Next call, Steve in South Carolina.
Hey, Steve, real quick.
Hey, thanks for all that you do. Hey, just, real quick, I don't know who said it, but during the 2016 election, it was stated that even though Bernie Sanders had lost the election, he still won, and that he planted his ideology and it took root.
No question.
If you all could just comment on that.
Oh, Steve, I think you're right. I think, look, that's why these candidates, including Joe Biden, have moved so far to the left. I think what Bernie Sanders said is as radical today as it was in 2016. It's just that he had an enthusiasm factor in 2016 he does not have now. He's got Warren nipping at his heels. I think, like, if Warren was out of it or Biden was out of it, I mean, I'd rather, if Warren or Sanders were out of it, I think it'd be a Biden, whoever the successor was, Sanders or Warren, I would suspect Warren, they'd be neck and neck. But that's not where it is right now, so we'll just see. Hey, don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available September 24th, bookstores everywhere. Pre-order now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. On the Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. We're going to play one of our tunes for you. And also, let me encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. And as always, make sure you're getting our email alerts. You can sign up for those at aclj.org. Also, follow us on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. And the ongoing